All right, so first hour, Catherine Ramsland on Coast to Coast talked about the Joren van der Sloot story and about sexual predators and some of the interesting profiling that's being done to try to understand both Joren van der Sloot and the Joren van der Sloots of the future. But then in the second hour, we got into it with Jim Bell, who is an ecological designer. He sees a better way of doing our economy, moving off of petroleum completely. He talked a little bit about the Gulf Coast. We took some questions from people and comments about with people who agreed with Jim about his perspective on the environment, maybe even took it a little bit further into the area of peak oil. And then in the third hour, we were just talking with Lindsay Williams and his perspectives on what's going on in the Gulf and why it's so important we be aware of what's coming up through the pipeline and how dangerous these pressures are at the bottom of the ocean, what it could mean if we don't get a handle on this, that we could be polluting the whole earth. We could be looking at a global collapse of our oceans, and it's not inconceivable. Should we go with the nuclear option? That's what Lindsay's sources are telling him is a dicey but still good bet on shutting down the oil leaking up from all of these fissures under the water. Now, what about this hour? Well, I promised you that you could ask anything you wanted of either our guests or in this hour too. If you have a solution, if you think you know how you could fix this, if you endorse the nuclear option or if you don't, either way, you get to engage Lindsay and Jim, as you see it this hour next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponet. All right, as we get to the questions here, I'll ask both Jim and Lindsay to try to keep their answers short so that we can get both of them perhaps on each one of these questions. But let me ask Jim Bell, since we're bringing him back into the conversation. You were listening to Lindsay Williams for the last hour. Jim, of what you heard, what do you agree with?
Well, I agree with a lot of it. And especially this, when I first even heard about this Gulf Oil spill and the troubles they were having trying to shut it off, I saw it right away. It could be a planet killer, basically. We're talking about killing the oceans, but I don't know if you've heard of the Bolido effect. If the oil spreads around the world and it increases the sheen on the surface of the ocean enough to reflect enough sunlight that would normally heat the ocean back into space, we're into an ice age in a very short amount of time.
That's interesting. How are you on Lindsay's proposal of having heard it from his sources that a nuclear option may be the best way to shut down this leak?
I noticed that there was caution in his voice because it could be the exact opposite as well. Where it caused so many fractures, more so many new fissures and fractures, to add to the ones that we already have. Now,
Lindsay, have your sources given you a likelihood of success for a nuclear option?
they're scared to death. They don't even know how to think about it. It bothers them to even consider it. I heard fear in their voices when they even talked about it.
Yeah, and that makes sense. If they're really not just, shining this on, they're seeing really what's happening and what it could lead to. This is a very serious thing, and I actually submitted a solution to it, which I think would work. Everybody says that it has so much pressure behind it that you could never put anything in the tube, but they were sure able to pump a whole lot of mud and even put pieces of tires and all kinds of that, trying to shove the oil back down. And they stopped doing it for a little while. It held, and then it came back through. But if they could do that, the plan I have would work. I mean, it's very simple. You have a pipe, and in hanging on that pipe, and really the pipe goes all the way to the front of it, you have a deflated bladder, and you basically just force it up the pipe, and then pump water from the bottom into the bladder until you fill the pipe. Then you put the cement in.
Lindsay, what's wrong with that plan?
They say that they have found issues now, both in OAA and the senator who spoke just this past week on national news said that they have found issues. That means fountains coming up as far as 20 miles away.
Yeah, my
undoubtedly
my plan
the pipe
would,
has been ruptured because
yeah, my,
of this extreme pressure.
Yeah,
way
my
down
plan
in the
would
depth.
Work in those situations. It only worked for that pipe, but you know, it's you know, I don't. You know, I understand why people are thinking of, you know, things as drastic as a nuclear explosion. But I think we should, you know, go towards shutting off everything we can and figuring out how to do it before we start trying to blow up the bomb. You know, what they're thinking about is that, well, if we blow a bomb in there, we'll melt the, you know,
yeah.
the surface. And
we'll turn it into glass.
It'll seal
right.
it up. And,
right.
But that's just a guessing by golly.
Yeah, maybe it just makes a big, giant hole. But let's get to Tim in Wisconsin on Coast to Coast for Lindsey Williams and Jim Bell, both on the same subject, different perspectives. Tim?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Great.
say, Ian, I just want to thank you on having a great show tonight and having guests on that give us a lot more perspective and information than what we're hearing on the news.
Good. What would be your question or comment?
My question to Lindsey is, if we drilled, or if some holes were drilled, some new wells were drilled within a certain vicinity of the leaking well, wouldn't that relieve some of the pressure that's coming out of the leaking well?
In order to plant a nuclear device, they would need probably 3 to 4 months, so I am told by oil company officials, to drill angle wells so that they could place that nuclear device. In order to drill additional wells into the same strata, they're afraid to even think about it because the pressures are so high that there's no modern-day technology that can contain it.
Yeah,
well, I think if I get Tim's point, he just means maybe the problem isn't too few oil wells. Too many, it's too few that we have. If you bring in 8 oil wells, that'll reduce the pressure and get the oil out, and it'll suddenly cut down on that 70,000, you know, pounds per square inch.
Yeah, but it won't do it. It won't do it instantaneously. It, you know, even if you were able to do that, you had a lot more outlets. That pressure is going to stay quite a while because there's a lot in there to get out through those small holes.
Ryan is in Seattle, west of the Rockies, on Coast to Coast. Ryan?
Yes, before I want to get to my question, I want to say that there's no doubt that the media, the mainstream media, is complicit in basically blacking out any coverage. You guys were talking about other wells. Well, if you watch Fox or MSNBC or CNN, you're only going to see probably about 5% of what's really going on out there. I have people on the ground and friends on the ground that and have encountered private security guards on American soil, whack and hut security guards that are denying reporters from taking pictures of dead animals, dead dolphins, dead turtles. We keep seeing the same goose covered with oil
yeah.
over and over again. Okay,
yeah.
Now here's my question. I want to take the attention of the Coast to Coast audience and say this. No offense to you, Lindsey, but your sources need to be promptly arrested and placed in custody and possibly taken to Guantanamo or somewhere else. I don't care how bad they feel. This is a crime, and if the government or the federal government does not perform an arrest, I say the citizens come after them and do a citizen's arrest. These people cannot get away with this kind of crime, not this time. And,
Lindsey, what do you say to that?
Ryan,
you got to let Lindsey respond to that. Lindsey, what do you think?
I'm trying to figure out his question. Now, if you're questioning what BP has done, I think the government already agrees. Our president has even said that he will hold them responsible. So, and of course, BP at this point is even considering the possibility of bankruptcy, because they know that they can't foot the bill for things like this. I'm presuming that's what you're talking about.
No, he's talking about criminal prosecution, not a civil, making sure that they get monies in return, but making sure that people go to jail for this.
For doing what they did in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes.
Well, sure, but my greatest concern, and Carla, thank you so much. I appreciate this, and I agree. Action must be taken. My greatest concern is the people. I mean, now, I'm very concerned about the dolphins and the fish and the pristine beaches, But my greatest concern is the government, and no one is telling the people what they're breathing, and this is going to affect unborn babies and people for years to come. No health care system in the world could afford to take care of the health problems that are going to be a result of just the airborne contaminants.
Right. Ryan, are you still there, Ryan? You had a follow-up question you wanted to ask?
Yes, it is.
Oh, is this Ryan?
No.
Oh, I must have, I'm sorry, something must have happened to Ryan. I thought he was still there, but he must have hung up. Gary is in Florida on Coast to Coast for Lindsay Williams and Jim Bell. Gary?
Ian, thanks for running Coast to Coast in an apolitical manner like the great Art Bell.
I try to.
Yes.
I have my moments, but thank you.
Thank you. First of all, I think the only thing that matters at this point is stopping this oil from coming out of the bottom of the ocean. How it happened isn't as important as stopping it. It'd be great to get off of oil like one of your guests suggested.
Yes.
However, I believe it's too late for that now. What are the dangers associated with this nuclear option? And if it fails, what could actually end up happening? Because I see the water of the world being replaced by oil, and that would be very ironic.
Well,
yeah,
the worst case scenario would be that you would basically pop the bubble and let all the oil out at one time under all that pressure.
We say we want oil. We get it all at one time. We'd have to learn how to drink oil. That would be a very scary proposition. And then at that point, you'd have a hole so big, if the nuclear option failed, you have a hole so big that you might as well just start putting for sale signs on the planet because it's over, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we're pushing it and pushing it. I mean, like, where I'm coming from is I'm going, okay, I'm living on a planet that's where pretty much everything we do, all of us, me included, you know, is one way or another destroying our planet's life support system. And it generally hurts other people, and it causes soil erosion, and it causes, you know, health problems and all these kinds of things. And it's sort of like, well, you know, obviously if this continues this way, oil or not or whatever, we're going to hit a tipping point where either a combination of things or one thing will be that straw that breaks the camel back, and this planet's life support system will fail in some fundamental way. And if it fails bad enough, it could be the end of us and most of higher forms of life. And this Gulf oil thing is basically a picture of, you know, if we can solve it, maybe we can escape it. But if we can't solve it, there may be no escape, no matter what we do. Won't matter how many solar panels we put up.
I want to ask both of you the same question, but I'll start with Jim. Jim, how many, if this hole is not repaired, or if this hole got larger, or if, as Lindsay said, you know, it's pumping out oil at a phenomenal rate that we can't even imagine and we haven't been told of yet, how long until it killed the planet, Jim?
It's hard to say, but I'll say this, that if it doesn't get stopped pretty soon, by, you know, maybe 3 years, it'll be, you know, on the European coast.
It'll Lindsay?
It'll go up the Gulf Stream and cross the North Sea and go down England and by Spain and into the Mediterranean Sea, and who knows from there.
Lindsay, how long till it killed the planet?
Well, Ian, I thank you for asking, because I just prepared a documentary this week that tells the real story of this gusher and what they tell me is going to happen if they don't stop it. Now, folks, I beg you, for the sake of all those people in Florida, every friend you know, what will happen to the dollar? I answer that question in my documentary. Where will the stock market go? I've already been told. What about the retirement and Social Security plans? Now, you've got to go a long ways with this. Where is the price of gold and silver going?
Yeah, but
I'm going to go a step further.
But underneath all that is our planet's life support system. Like, all those things are human constructs. Underneath that, there's real soil, real groundwater, real fresh water, real things that we use to supply the essentials. of water and food, and now we have this perfect opportunity with renewable energy resources to supply our energy too without causing all this pollution. I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter how much oil there is. It's stupid to use it anyway if there's a better option.
Well, there is another facet to this also, and the average person out there doesn't have the slightest idea. I got it, all this investigation that I did in the course of, oh, by the way, I probably covered less than half of my notes tonight. There were so many of them that I didn't get to. Well, Iran, do you realize that Iran fits into this whole thing? I have been told when war will take place with Iran. Now, folks, I beg of you, will you please get this documentary, 8 DVDs, and a documentary that I made this past week, just a few days ago. Please, will you call this number, 888-799-6111, or if you don't want to talk to an operator, go to on your web to prophecyclub.com. That's prophecy spelled with a C, PROPHECYCLUB.com. We have operators standing by tonight at 888-799-6111 with a documentary just on the Gulf Oil Gusher and 6 DVDs, 8 hours of DVD viewing, and covering also the other points that we haven't even considered, and that is what's it going to do with the dollar, the stock market, Social Security, where is gold prices going, and when will war with Iran take place? These people have marked every bit of this out. The elite know exactly where they're going if this thing doesn't stop, and I plead with you to copy my DVDs and my CD. They are not copywritten. I beg of you to copy them and get them out to everybody.
You can link up to both Lindsey Williams and Jim Bell through our website at coasttocoastam.com. Bob, on a wild card line in Van Nuys, California, on Coast to Coast. Bob?
Yeah, wow. Boy, this takes the record for the scariest show ever. Wow. If you think about this for a second, okay, there's about a trillion gallons of oil down there at about 20,000 feet, okay? Now, it's under anywhere from, 80 to 120,000 PSI that deep, with the millions of tons of ocean water pressing on the ground. Now, everybody knows when you fill up a balloon under pressure, you stick a needle in it, what happens? It blows up. Now, if you poke a hole in the earth that's under hundreds of thousands of PSI and you put a hole in it, the crust could start cracking like a balloon in slow motion, frame by frame, watching it blow up. Now, if the bottom of the ocean starts cracking and fracturing, a trillion gallons of oil from 20,000 feet below the surface would completely destroy the ocean. Now, that's not even the bad part yet. Now, oil floats to the top. All it takes is one lightning storm, and the entire ocean is lit on fire. That sucks our oxygen out and kills us all. So it's a pretty bad situation. I mean, yeah. Atomic bomb? Oh, my God. Atomic bomb? You might as well just stick a fuse in the planet and blow it up. The whole planet might explode. You have a trillion gallons of oil, and you detonate it, the planet's going to explode. You blow the whole planet up.
Yeah, that's why when I look at it, I say, well, what's our defense? I mean, if there's these conspiracies and all these things going on, to make wars and things like that, if we in the San Diego Tijuana region became renewable energy self-sufficient, we could also become renewable water self-sufficient using extra electricity to use reverse osmosis to convert seawater into fresh water. And if we have plenty of water, we can become food self-sufficient. That's the thing that will break the necks of any conspiracies who are trying to control the world. As long as we're dependent upon the oil products and fossil fuel products, products controlled by these companies, we have no hope.
That music should be telling you something. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment. Lindsey Williams, Jim Bell, taking your questions and comments on the future of that hole, that pinprick hole on the ocean, of the balloon of the ocean. What is it going to let loose? Is it a planet killer? We'll talk more about that coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. As we get back to the calls for Lindsey Williams and Jim Bell, two different perspectives on the hole in the ocean that's not just dribbling out oil, but also dangerous petrochemicals into the air. That's what Lindsay Williams has been trying to tell us about, too. Go to our website, link up to them both at coasttocoastam.com. Your questions and comments on how you would fix it and what your concerns are with both of their comments so far on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Thank you so much for everybody's patience in trying to get on the air with Lindsay Williams and Jim Bell on Coast to Coast. It was a great last 20 minutes, and I'm looking forward to where you take this. Mason is in Washington on the Skype line on Coast to Coast for Jim and Lindsay. Mason, what's your question? Mason, can you hear us okay? Are we having a problem with that line's feed? We just had one with somebody else, too. Let me try another line, see if we can get John in Seattle on Coast to Coast on a wild card line for Lindsay Williams and Jim Bell. John?
Good evening, Ian, Lindsay, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Lindsay, this is Johnny in Seattle. It's been a while since I've talked to you. And sorry we have to talk under such disturbing circumstances, but I got two questions for all of you. Number one, how long do you think it's going to take all of this underwater seepage to float into the Puget Sound up here in Seattle and affect all of our seafood and sea life up here? And do you think that it might affect some of the water table and so on overall in land masses across the country?
Good question. Jim, do you want to start that one first?
Yeah, it may have those consequences. It's like we're sort of, playing with information that's unprecedented, and there's a lot of speculation. I mean, I'd like to try my solution to at least closing that pipe off. It seems to be the biggest leak going on right now, but you have to assume that it's going to get fixed, and if it isn't me, it's someone else who's going to come up with the bright idea to fix it and to even fix the other geysers that are not coming out from a pipe. But if we do fix them, or we assume we do fix it, and we say, hey, we're not going to do that anymore, too dangerous, then we would still want to become renewable energy, water, and food self-sufficient, because that's really only security. And as I said before, just if you imagine your worst conspiracy, that there are some people up there who royal families of the past or whatever, whatever your scenario is, and they're calling the shots, they can only call the shots as long as we are dependent upon them for our vital necessities.
All right.
If we grow them ourselves and produce them ourselves locally, we're free.
Lindsay,
they
your
come
thought?
And kill us. Yeah.
Lindsay, your thought on that?
This oil, to answer our Seattle call, this oil will not get to the Pacific Ocean. It will not go to Seattle. You have nothing to be concerned about. The oil, if it continues, will go around the southern tip of Florida, get into the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream is a stream of water, ocean within an ocean, and it will take it north and all the way across to England. The Gulf Stream is what warms England, Scotland, and Ireland, and it will affect the Atlantic drastically. You must, I plead with you again, you need to know what Russia says. I haven't even been able to give it tonight. I don't have time. You've got to know what Russia said. You've got to know what we can do to keep from ever drilling another super deep well. Please call and get my documentary. We even have operators standing by tonight. I asked them to be there because I knew there'd be so many people. You've got to have an alternative to this, and we have it in our documentary.
Eric is in Lake Hughes, California, on Coast to Coast for Lindsay Williams and Jim Bell. Eric?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Hi, Ian. By the way, I that was probably one of the last, if not the last, 45 vinyl 45 that I bought was that.
Knock on wood.
Yeah,
that's a great version.
Yeah.
Your question for Lindsay or Jim?
Yeah, I had a question for the experts there, and also you were asking for ideas on maybe a solution. And then I also had a quick question for you, and you guys can answer this off the air for me. That's fine. But my question is, my idea is, what about just getting huge cultures of these bacteria that eat this, that that degrade this oil, and would it cause, you know, putting big tankers of cultures of this bacteria, and would it work and not cause, you know, throw the ecology of the ocean into flux or something, some overgrowth of bacteria after we get rid of it? And then my question is, you know, I understand there were other oil wells, a couple other ones that have blown out. One was going for 9 months, I think, in South America, and I was wondering how did they get that one stopped? And then
that's a good question. Eric, there's plenty of questions. We got to get these answered as we go along. Go ahead, Lindsay or Jim. Does anybody know anything about that other oil well? Because I did hear somebody else mention that.
The only super deep wells on the face of the earth are the ones that Russia drilled, and the one that BP has attempted to drill and failed in its process in the Gulf of Mexico. Therefore, pressures such as 20 to 70,000 pounds per square inch have never been encountered before. They don't know really about them. These other wells you were talking about, they had minor flows compared to the tremendous flow of this well.
Jim?
Well, I did see an article that said that Nigeria had a spill. I'm not claiming it to be a deep ocean or deep land mine, but they had a spill that was double. This is sometimes back what was happening in the Gulf. I didn't see any other confirmation about it, but I remember it was from a credible source.
I wonder how long it would take to grow enough bacterium eat all this oil.
I mean, if you seeded the bacteria and they really could eat that stuff, they would grow very rapidly, and they would have an ecological consequence. But the oil is having a horrible ecological consequence anyway. On the other side, it would turn all these hydrocarbons into carbon dioxide, and even the benzenes and things like that. They get in the air, and they are horrible pollutants for people and all that, and they're not good for anything really. But they're part of a normal process of cracking oil in a gasoline conversion plant.
Jim, Lindsay was talking about those carcinogens and the other things that were going to come up. You're on the same page on that, right, Jim?
Oh, totally. It's horrendous, and the scale and you know, just when you think about the people and everything, it's just like if we don't get it now, when will we get it? You know, that we have to be very careful. I mean, like, we're living in a time and place in history where there are more people living right now, live tonight, than ever lived on this planet before. And each one of us has more negative ecological impact or life support system impact than ever before in history, even from the, you know, averaging from the poorest poor person to the richest rich person. We all have negative impacts. And the trick is to become conscious enough so that we go, well, wait a minute, we have to live in harmony with our planet's life support system, duh. We have to figure out how to get our energy. If we want to live the way we do now, we have to figure out ways to get our energy, water, and food in ways that don't, you know, screw up the planet and don't screw up those resources.
I'm going to try and get in three callers here before the top of the hour. Hopefully that will at least get the people who've been waiting the longest for Lindsay Williams, Jim Bell. Go ahead. Bob is in Windsor, Ontario on Coast to Coast. Bob?
Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. My question's about the gases you said were coming up. How far inland could they spread if it continues to keep leaking?
Lindsay?
Well,
I'm so glad you asked this.
There's no limit.
Because that was my question also, and we are in hurricane season. It began a few weeks ago, and these oil executives are irate. They don't know what to think. One hurricane will take these gases all the way up the east coast of America. It is an atrocity that our government and no congressman is willing to say anything about this, and it is going to cause defects in people for years and years to come. Yet one hurricane is all it takes.
We were talking about if a hurricane came along, I would expect that it would also help disperse all this into a greater area where there would be less of an impact. I would almost think that a hurricane would be just what you would need to kind of spread it out, right? And so that it'd be less toxic.
Well, yeah, I was a commercial pilot for 30 years. I know in my flying that the prevailing winds in America go from the northwest to the southeast. That means that the people who are going to get these toxic gases are the ones in Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and it is going to be horrendous if a hurricane happens to get those and take them up the East Coast.
Okay. Jim, you're on the same page on that?
A little different. When you release when there's something that's airborne in the atmosphere, it takes about 2 weeks for it to be more or less evenly dispersed in the whole northern hemisphere. To do it planet-wide, it takes about 2 years. So anything we're putting up there, eventually it affects everybody. We had the experience with Chernobyl not very long ago where we saw that the radiation went all over the world, really, and it was more concentrated in some places than others. This will be the same way.
John is in New Jersey on Coast to Coast. We're counting down many callers as we get in.
Listen, Lindsay, it's great to talk to you, and I really want to talk to you on this. First of all, you're saying the nuclear option over here to blow up that wellhead. No, thermite, the same stuff that they use to destroy the World Trade Center. Okay.
All right. Wait, John, hang on. John, I'm going to leave you up, but Lindsay, what about thermite? Why not that?
The only thing that any of these executives have talked to me about is a nuclear device. They have not mentioned anything else. I'm sure there must be something else out there. But the one that they're considering at this point is nuclear, and it is frightening to no end.
Yes, it is. It's like one gentleman says, the fuse that they're going to blow up the world. They ignite the world. Okay. Your solution here is PVC piping. Strong as steel, but flexible. And we're going to use the buoyancy of the water, okay? And we're going to run this down over the pipe. What's the diameter of the pipe that broke?
21 inches.
21 inches. I don't know if they make PVC 21 inches. But, the check on the manufacturer, the slip it over. You use a union on the length of each pipe. The first piece of pipe would have to be made special as to have a flange like 18 to 20 inches, okay, above the opening, all right? Now, you need another thing, O-rings, okay, lead O-rings. And when you get it down there, okay, when you finally get it down on the side, I skipped one process. Each piping has to be mopped on the inside with synthetic oil. Okay, we're fighting fire with fire over here. Reason for the frost buildup, for the icing that's occurring inside the pipe. Okay, this is a retrieval. We're doing a retrieval here. Okay, now it goes down. Now we have a flange that's about 18 to 20 inches above the first pipe. You have O-rings. Now you have to make lead O-rings. This is a part of a little scheme here that I dreamed up. All right. Now when it's down there, you can throw O-rings on the pipe. The rings will, bing, bang, boom, down to the flange. Now, with the crane, you can pick this up and slam it down into the soft sand, which is the Gulf of Mexico there. Okay? Slam it again. Slam it again. You can retrieve about 85 to 90% of oil.
Okay.
All right? I wish, Lindsay, Mr. Williams, can you please give me a call? And we can do this in a fish tank.
Oh, okay. Well, he's not he doesn't exactly work for the oil company.
He doesn't work for
okay.
the oil. I'm not looking for a dime. Number two, I'm not looking for
right.
a dime. I'm looking
okay. All right,
I'm
John,
not looking for anything. No money.
All right, let's get a response. Let's get a response, Jim, Lindsay, on that sounds like a plan, right?
Well, mine is on YouTube, so I think I would shoot for that. I'm not trying to say that it will definitely work, but I think it's worth a good shot.
Lindsay, it sounds like it's something they would have considered already, right? Just putting dropping a flange on top of the bleeding pipe right now and just bringing it all up to the surface. It sounds so simple. Why can't it work?
Oh, the caller said he would like to talk with me. I would love to talk with him. And I do have oil company officials that would listen to him if he has a viable. Please, caller, please call my toll-free number, 888-799-6111. Tell them you talk with me on Coast to Coast. Give them your phone number. I will return your call. Again, 888-799-6111. 6111, and we have operators standing by right now. They'll be glad to talk with you. And please get my documentary.
All right. Al in California, you may be the last caller we have time for on Coast to Coast. Al?
Well, somebody earlier mentioned the volcano. And up there by the volcano, when they were drilling for geothermal, they found that the process of pumping liquid back down creates earthquakes. Now, we're doing this oil thing. If it's not just a, you know, a little puddle of oil down there, but something major, either blowing it up or releasing it, being as how there's already cracks running around, couldn't this possibly be some large earthquake producer?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't, I mean, we don't know because we haven't been studying those fissures. Like we got our eyes on it now, so we're discovering things that may have been going on a long time that may not even be associated with the pipe. Good chance it would be. Maybe a good chance it's associated with us mucking around down there and, you know, not really knowing what we're doing. And the pressure I have seen that I've seen published, you know, on the web is when 1,400 pounds per square inch, which is a lot different than 17,000.
Or 70,000, right, Lindsay?
Right, yeah.
Is that what you said?
They said it was somewhere between 20 and 70. When it blew, they had still not had time to get the wellhead pressure because it was unexpected once they drilled into the strata. So they are estimating a low figure of 20,000 pounds per square inch, a high figure of 70.
Wow. Hang on, let's just get – I'm going to try Mason one more time. Hey, Mason? No? Mason, yes? Mason, not there. Okay, I tried again.
There's a common sense to it too. Like we all have eyes, and we see the pictures of the oil, you know, speeding up. If it was speeding up, you know, like 70,000 pounds per square inch, it would be like a rocket going off there, not just this thing kind of bubbling up, and you know, as we see it. So I'm sort of questioning a lot of these figures that they're throwing at us.
Well, Lindsay Williams, you can link up to him. You can find out more about his DVDs if you go to coasttocoastam.com and go from there. Jim Bell, his book is online. Portions of Lindsay's book is online, too, on that there is no energy crisis, or the energy non-crisis, sorry, is the title of the book. Thank you both for doing as best you can with all these great questions and suggestions and comments. And good to know good minds like yours are on the job one way or another. Hopefully between the two of you, we'll be able to solve this problem. And maybe a few other people out there calling Lindsay's number and getting a chance to pass along those suggestions to the oil company executives that he knows. Thank you both very much. Have a great week. Let's pray for an ending of this problem before it becomes a planet killer. But you'll be hearing about the progress one way or another on this show with George Norrie. In the meantime, Deus te amat, and I do too.